Disneyland with Kids podcast, bringing you travel tips, park tidbits, and the best Southern California travel deals.
Disneyland is absolutely magical, but there are times when the magic can be ruined. And I'm not talking about people cutting in front of you in line. This one, we're going to get into some of the questions and things your kids might ask you while you're at Disneyland. So be sure to tune out if you have little ears with you and join us as we talk about when the magic is ruined. I'm Jessica from The Happiest Blog on Earth.
And I'm Becca with this crazy adventure called life.
Okay, I just want to say one more time, we want to keep the magic alive for as long as possible. So if you have little listeners with you, let's pause this and come back later so that you can hear what we're talking about and kind of ways to extend the magic, to keep that magic going throughout childhood and adulthood, because there are times when things maybe go wrong or your kids have very inquisitive questions that could ruin the magic. Becca, have you had experience with this with your kids?
You know, here's the weird thing. It's like my kids never question it. They just got to a point where they knew, but they still like act like they don't know. Does that make sense? Like they're still like you and yes. I, we're just as excited to see these characters and this stuff. And, yeah, so they definitely had a point where a light bulb went off in their head and they're like, oh, yes. Okay, but they still enjoy it.
Okay, so just going to lay it out there. Specifically, we're talking about things like when your kids say, I'm just hugging a random stranger. Stuff like that. When maybe you saw Princess Ariel in Fantasy Fair and then you walked out and saw Princess Ariel outside of the castle. And it's a different Princess Ariel. Or maybe your kids Google, maybe they're old enough, and they found out different little secrets about Turtle Talk with Crush, or different things like that. So what do we do as parents in that situation? Now, I definitely think it has to do with age, but sometimes our kids still want that magic, and they're asking questions. Like one of our members of Disneyland with Kid mentioned, this one's really interesting. So Allie R. said, I have what might be a silly question, but the castle, is this Aurora's parents' castle or the one she and Prince Philip lived happily ever after? The reason I ask is because we're from Scotland and my little girl is aware of Aurora's castle at Disneyland Paris. So she asked why Aurora has two castles. So kids are coming up with these very valid and wonderful questions. And our community stepped right in and had a lot of really great examples. Becca, do you have that post pulled up by chance?
Yeah, I actually do have it.
Perfect. And we can share that link in the show notes as well. But why don't you read a couple of those answers, or maybe just one, because people had some really great answers that continue with the story and keeping that magic alive.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to say, like, we even had a member who went and Googled the answer for them to figure it out. And one person said, the castle at Disneyland is technically called Sleeping Beauty Castle. So I'd say that's the one from the movie her parents live in. That's what one person said. But another person, a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about this, but now I want to know. So a lot of people are curious and they started looking into it more. So what did someone else say?
Well, I really actually like what Lindsay said. She said, my go-to response for questions like this is, that's a really great question. What do you think? Because while there may be a right or wrong answer, we don't necessarily have to go with a right or wrong answer. We can gauge what the kid is thinking about, what made their thought process go this way, and discuss a logical answer and a conclusion together, right? So that's something that's really interesting. What about when kids figure out or question that it's not the real Mickey Mouse? Like, there's people inside of there.
I think that's still a great answer. If they're just questioning, be like, well, what do you think? Like, that's always a great way. It's same with, you know, other mythical beings that they may question at some point that aren't even Disney related. What do you think? Open up the conversation. And if they, you know, are like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not the real one, you can be like, hey, you know, you could talk about, but, it, you know, we like to have that experience. This is the person, they help us. It's kind of like, you know, Santa has his helpers at all the malls. So go into that. And if they're really just like, yeah, but you know what? It's the closest thing we get to being able to be with the real Mickey Mouse. And that's why it's so special, because this person has studied and learned how to be Mickey so that we can feel the real Mickey spirit there with us. So those are all different answers you can give depending on where they're at. Obviously, the younger they are, the you know, more simple of an answer you want to give them.
So some kids are going to surprise you based on their age and ability. When I took my nephew, he was 2, but very verbal, and we met Mickey in his house, and Mickey Mouse doesn't talk. Most of the characters don't talk, but they will pantomime things. So my nephew had on yellow shoes, and guess what color shoes Mickey had on? Yellow, right? So Mickey was talking to him about them having the same shoes. He absolutely loved that. And then we went over to the Disney Junior dance party, where you don't interact with Mickey on a one-on-one level like that. And when we went home, he just kept talking about how the racer Mickey didn't talk to me, but neither did the other Mickey, but he thought they had had a conversation because they are so good at that. So it was just really cute. And so we reminded him, like, remember the other Mickey did talk to you because he wasn't putting on a show. He was just hanging out with you in your yellow shoes.
I love that. That's great.
So cute. So I mentioned in the intro too, we had gone into Meet the Princesses in Fantasy Fair, and we met with Ariel, and we had a long conversation, because when you meet the princesses, they take their time with you in that royal hall in Fantasy Fair, and you can meet 2 to 3 princesses, and they are just lovely. So my friend's daughter that we were with, 5 years old, very aware, had a lovely conversation. And then as we went out, we saw Ariel by Snow White's wishing well. And to me, one look at her face and also the timing of it wouldn't have worked. I was like, oh no, we just had a conversation with this other Ariel. And now here's another Ariel who completely doesn't look. So we did that little eye contact between the parents, look over there kind of thing. And we just kind of blocked our little friend's view and was like, oh, here we go. Let's keep going this way. Honestly, I don't know what would have happened if she actually stopped and talked to her, because it was just a walk-up option right there. She was just standing there, and I don't know if she would have figured it out, but we were happy to just keep that magic alive.
Yeah, definitely. Thinking of this too, we now have the Ariel from the live action as well as the Ariel from the cartoon. And of course, they look different, and they have different dresses and all of that. So I don't have kids that are that age, but it's also worth it to parents to kind of decide how they're going to approach that when they're like, oh, but there was an Ariel from the cartoon. Like, if they've seen both, your kids are going to know there's 2 different Ariels, right?
Right.
But if your child is very much into the cartoon, has never seen the live action because they're not into that stuff yet, they're too young for live actions, they might get confused by everyone saying hi to Ariel that doesn't look like the Ariel they know. So you just I just say, you know, just like there's lots of people named Jessica, there are several mermaids named Ariel that have their own stories. And that's how I think I would approach that if it was my child.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mickey Mouse is dressed up in different costumes throughout the resort doing different things because he is in a different story at that time. So I really love that as well. There's things that can ruin the magic because they tell like Imagineer secrets. Are you into those things? Just personally, like, as an adult, you want to know what's happening behind the scenes.
So are we talking like the ballroom in Haunted Mansion?
Yes.
Like, yeah. As an adult, sometimes I want to, and my oldest child is very much into how things work and stuff. So he likes to hear those things, but I don't want to know everything. I mm-hmm. want some stuff to still be like magical to me, because the more I learn, the more I just see, you know, it's easy to start seeing that, especially when you hear it on repeat. Right. So if you are someone that every time you're with everyone, you tell them how the ghosts work, you might be killing the magic for them, even if they're adult. Like, we don't want to hear it every time we go on Haunted Mansion.
Yes, exactly. There's some things that I won't look up because I just want to enjoy it for what it is. It made me remember too when we were in Enchanted Tiki Room with my cousin's daughter and it rains, and she was 3 and knew that it was sunny when we came in. She says, "Is it really raining?" And again, it's just one of those parenting things that you want to decide if you want to say, "What do you think?" Or if you want to say, "It's raining in our story right now." Because when you go to Disneyland, you become part of the story. So you can get as immersive into it as you want, or not. But I think that's one of the appeals of Disneyland, is to get into the story. So I want it to be as real as possible. It is nighttime 24/7 in Pirates of the Caribbean. I remember as a kid just being in awe, like, how is it nighttime in here? And then when we're done, it is daytime.
Yeah, same with Peter Pan. It's always night.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I will say, though, there are some things that can throw off and be an issue that maybe, like, most of us know animatronics, right? They're animatronics. But I just, it popped in my head while we were talking about when Ursula's head came off on The Little Mermaid and people were on the ride. Like, it fell off. Well, I couldn't imagine if I had a little kid with me and that happened in front of us, like what I would say. So, I mean, sometimes it's worth it to, you know, at least on the rides, be like, yes, these are just animatronics. I think most kids get it by a certain age. But yeah, there's always the things that you might have to explain that you didn't think you'd have to.
Right. And I think as parents too, you know, your kids, if they're going to question and question, and they just need to know, even at a young age, like, this is pretend and we're having fun playing pretend, but these are machines or robots or whatever you want to say in the simplest form to them. Some kids that are more apprehensive will find that really comforting to know, and they feel much safer. So it just really depends on you and your child. And I would say that no matter which route you take, that the magic is always still there.
Yes. And part of the magic is just letting yourself be in the story and embracing it. And I think that's why so many people, when they become parents, they love going with their kids, is because they get to see the magic all over again through someone's eyes that doesn't know all the behind the scenes stuff going on. And one thing I thought of when we decided to talk about this is that this is a super strong argument for not waiting until they're old enough to do all the rides or they're old enough to remember, because it is so magical to see your child experience the magic before it's ruined, as we were calling this episode.
Right.
Because there's just nothing else like it. I will never forget. So one of my twins, for the longest time, he was scared of the characters that did not have feet, you know, mm-hmm. the like Mickey and stuff. But we took him fully when costumed. He was, yeah, fully costumed. That's what I'll say. The non-face characters, as they're called. But we took him when he was 2.5. We hadn't been in like a year, or maybe it was almost two. He was almost two. And so we took him, and to see his face light up when he walked into the room with Mickey, like, it was a totally different experience. And of course, once he got older, that's not, I mean, it wasn't how he acted, but I will never forget him getting so excited to see Mickey from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse in his house and go and say hi to him. And he's just like this big grin. And if I had waited until they were older and tall enough to do some of the other rides, I would have missed that. And so I think it's an argument to be made for taking them when they're still little.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love taking kids at all ages. And when they're under 3, they are free. And then ages 3 to 9 is a child ticket. So get them there and let us help you. We partner with Getaway Today, and we have exclusive rates for Disneyland with Kids listeners and members of our Facebook group. You can go to disneylandwithkids.info/book. And it will take you right to those discounts, and you don't even need any code.
That's right. It's a great deal. And also, they a lot of times will have other deals going on. I just want to say, for the adults to get better deals. So at the time of this recording, they have an extra day free. Sometimes they do adults and kids prices. So be sure to check out their site for deals on the adult tickets too.
That's it for today in the Disneyland with Kids podcast, and we'll see you real soon at Disneyland.